Blog Talk Radio.
For Fan for Racing, NASCAR, and Race Talk. This is Monday night, June the 27th, and we have another big night of conversation about the weekend of racing at Sonoma Raceway, Gateway Motorsports Park, and Winchester Speedway this weekend. And we have a couple of guests coming on. First guest is going to be in our winner's circle for the ARCA Racing Series. He got his very first career win in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend in just 12 starts at Winchester Speedway. And that is Chase Briscoe. Chase Briscoe is going to be returning back to the show with us. We talked to him earlier this year, and we're definitely looking forward to chatting with him again. He's had a great season thus far, leading the series point standings and Rookie of the Year standings, and doing really, really well. Now he's got that first win under his belt, and we'll chat with him a little bit tonight about what that means to him, because it was at his home track, by the way, as well. He is from Mitchell, Indiana, so getting that win at that first win at Winchester, I think, is a pretty big deal. Now, joining me now is our co-host, Sal Segallo. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Thanks.
Really happy to have you here. Just going through the agenda tonight. Talked about Chase Briscoe being with us at 8:40. At 9:30, Noah Gregson's going to come back. He was with us last week as part of the winner's circle to talk about his win at Stafford Speedway in the Can-Am East. He traveled across the country to Sonoma Raceway and was the highest finishing Can-Am West driver at Sonoma Raceway, and he's coming back again this week. So really great that we're going to be talking to Noah Gregson again, Sal.
Oh, yeah, it was a really good race. He put out a really good show and, you know, led the most laps and almost came home with the victory.
He certainly did. And, of course, we know that Chase Elliott won that race. But Chase Elliott, being a Sprint Cup Series driver, is not racing for points in that series. Noah Gregson, of course, is racing for points. So that was a really big finish for Noah Gregson. Now, normally, Sal, at 10 o'clock, we say goodbye to you and we open the door for our NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off. And tonight, we're not going to be doing that. Chris Knight, who normally co-hosts with me during that segment, is not able to be with us tonight. And, in fact, he's going to be taking some time off and will be returning at some point in the future. In the meantime, I've got a couple of leads on some people who may be able to fill in for him and perhaps beginning as soon as this Thursday night. So definitely stay tuned for news from Fan for Racing in that regard. Of course, we wish the best to Chris Knight. He's still a partner of ours, and we will look forward to his return when the time is right. So definitely wanted to make sure everybody knew that was happening. So we'll be closing out the show tonight, Sal, at our usual 10 o'clock time.
Oh, cool. You know what? And actually, James Bickford said to call him anytime you need him.
He
was
up
at the track
really?
This weekend. Yeah, he was up at the track.
Okay.
And I said, thanks for filling in when I was out. He goes, oh, no problem. He goes, out of fun. He goes, tell Sharon anytime she needs me that I'm available.
James Bickford was great. I really had fun co-hosting with James Bickford not too long ago when Sal was unavailable. And so I just might do that. I'll tell you, for this Thursday night, though, my guest host for this Thursday night, Sal, is going to be an old friend of ours, Jason Schultz, is coming back to Fan for Racing for Thursday night. And he's going to help me co-host the entire show that night. So I'm definitely looking forward to chatting with Jason as we preview the upcoming racing that's going to be taking place at Daytona Speedway. There's also the Can-Am East race at Columbus that's taking place next weekend. And Jason's going to help me do the preview for all of those races. So definitely looking forward to talking with Jason again this coming Thursday. But yes, I will definitely keep James Bickford in mind. I don't know if he's listening or not, but if he is, he needs to call us between, let's see, we finish at 9:50, between 9:50 and 10 o'clock. James, if you give us a call and you want to help me do that NASCAR Hot Topic sound up, you know, give me a call between that time and we'll go ahead and do that. Okay, so Sal, let's get into the weekend of racing here. We've got our first guest coming up here in just a few minutes. Chase Briscoe has been leading the series point standings at the in the ARCA Racing Series for the entire year, practically. He was doing that without winning a race. He just has been running very consistently, doing a fantastic job in his rookie season with the ARCA Racing Series. But this weekend, he got his first win. And what's even more exciting, it's at Winchester Speedway, which I'm not sure how far away that is from Mitchell, Indiana, but it's like being a home track for Chase Briscoe and being able to get his first win at his home track. So that's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, it's always exciting when you get your first win, especially, you know, in front of your hometown, when your hometown favorite, that makes it even that much more special.
Absolutely. And then you and I will talk during that 9 o'clock half hour. We've got a lot of conversation to talk about with regard to the weekend of racing. You were at Sonoma Raceway this weekend, so you saw a lot of the racing for the Can-Am Pro Series West race as well as the Sprint Cup Series that was racing there this weekend. I'll tell you what, that was two fantastic finishes.
Yeah, it was, Sharon. It was exciting. You know, it was exciting to see the fans, hang around, and congratulate Tony on the win, from up above the stands right there at the end. And, gosh, I've never seen Tony so excited when he got out. He was so pumped up. And then afterwards, he had to sit out next to the car for a while, and they were dumping bottles of water on him to cool him off.
Yeah, it was a really hot day. And, Tony's... Tony's like you and I. He's not one of the young guns anymore.
No, and it's funny because when he got out of the car, you could see all the gray on his face, and I'm like, wow, I thought that's really, didn't realize how old he really was, until you see all the gray on him, and I was like, wow, he really is up there in age.
Yep, and it doesn't really, in this day and age, his age really isn't that old, but in terms of racing, it really is. So.
Oh yeah, especially with all the young kids you got coming into the series. He's up there in age. Well, Jeff Gordon and all the rest.
Absolutely. And now, Sal, I want to go ahead and get into our next guest here because we're getting ready to start up our winner circle with a first-time winner in the ARCA Racing Series in front of his hometown crowd at Winchester Speedway. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to our show Chase Briscoe from Cunningham Motorsports. Welcome to the show, Chase, and congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Well, Chase, we were really happy to see that you won the race this weekend. You've had a fantastic season And actually, this is only your 12th start at Winchester Speedway this weekend before you got your first win. But in the season that you've had, you're leading the series point standings. You're leading the Rookie of the Year standings. You've led the most laps. You're the Valvoline lap leader. The one thing that was missing was that win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had a lot of success this year. It's a testament of the team and, you know, the great cars they bring. You know, I don't have much experience on stock cars or even on pavement. Just, you know, it helps when you have great race cars. It makes my job a lot easier. You know, it's definitely, it's weird to say it's been a long time coming, but, you know, we've been on the pole 5 times this year and, you know, couldn't really find that first win. And now I think we clicked this one off. You know, the team's just gelling. And, you know, we finally just executed the whole entire race. And it's something we've really struggled with this year. So I think if we can just keep doing that, we'll really be a force to be reckoned with. It's, can't thank all my guys enough. They've put in a ton of work lately, and it's been a long 6 weeks on the road, so I was glad to finally reward them with a win.
Absolutely, you know, it was a well-deserved win on your part as well, and it didn't come easy. You had to kind of fight for that win. You had Dalton Sargeant in your rearview mirror at times and right in front of you at times. So talk a little bit about the challenge there.
Yeah, it was definitely a heck of a race. You know, me and, you know, Dalton, I really felt like we're the class of the field just as far as speed goes. We both had really good long-run speed. And just after a couple laps, we would kind of just pull away from the rest of the field. But I knew all day long that, you know, the 55 of Sargeant was really going to be the guy that we had to race. And, you know, the race kind of took green, and we kind of had a decent green flag run. I wasn't really going that hard, and we'd pulled away quite a bit, and I really felt like that it was our race to lose at that point. We came down and took 2 tires and ended up coming out with the lead still, and we just weren't as good on 2 tires, and he ended up pretty much pressuring us the whole entire run and passes and left us, and I was really getting worried at that point. And, we came down and took 4 tires at the end, had a couple restarts, and finally I just got lucky in time, the last restart right at the right time, and you know, got ahead of him and cleared him, and that was really the race. And we found out today at the shop why we were so bad on that long run. We had a bit of a problem with one of the rubbers in the springs, and just caused us to get way loose. So looking back, we ended up getting really lucky that we cleared him on that last restart, because if it would have, you know, never know what could have happened.
Okay. And sometimes that's what it comes down to, I think, in some of these races. You took advantage of the right moment and put your team in a really good spot there to take home that win. So, you know, I think that's fantastic. Now, with us is our co-host, Sal Sagala, and I know he has some questions for you as well, Chase.
Hey, Chase, first of all, congratulations on the win. And, you know, to win in front of a hometown crowd. And not only that, you know, but to, you know, finally pick up your first win. We've seen a lot of first-time winners in the ARCA series. And you know what? With along with your win with the rest of them, you know, it's really starting to give the series, you know, a lot of gas and a lot of recognition. A lot of fans are starting to tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely cool, you know, to get the first win at, you know, at Winchester. It's not my home track just because I'm so close to Salem, but it was just great, you know, to be able to just get a win in Indiana and just have my whole family there. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's really cool though for ARCA. You know, there's been a lot of first-time winners, and it's just neat to see guys come in. You kind of have the battle between the guys running for the championship, like myself and Josh Williams and guys like that, and Sargeant, who are regulars in the series. And you have guys that come in and just run a couple of races, like William Byron and Christopher Bell and guys like that. So it's really exciting for the fans, you know, to kind of see that battle between guys that are coming in there just with nothing to lose and go for the win, racing against those guys going for the championship.
You know, and actually, when you think about the track Winchester in itself, you know, it's a historic track. You know, a lot of different, you know, series have been run there. You know, you've had a lot of different winners there. You know, and you know, to etch your name, especially you know in the ARCA series, you know, that makes a stop there. You know, that's got to, you know, it's got to really, you know, feel good. You know, it's not only for yourself, but it's also going to look good on your resume.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, without a doubt, Winchester is a place that means a lot to me just because of the history of USAC, for example. I'm a sprint car kid growing up, and I remember watching it on Thursday Night Thunder, like growing up, watching midgets and sprint cars go around there. And you just, there's a lot of legends that have went through that place. You know, Tom Bigelow, Robbie Stanley, Tony Stewart. I mean, all the big names in sprint cars have ran there. And, you know, just a win at anywhere is special, but I feel like Winchester is one of those places that people look at, think it's a real driver's track and it's really physical, so it definitely can't hurt to have your first win come at Winchester.
You know, and then especially, you know, another thing, you know, is to win from the pole. You know, this was your, actually it was your fifth pole this season. And was there ever a time, I mean, when you were, you know, towards, you know, as the closing laps were coming up, you're going to say, this has to be the time, you know, that I'm going to start in the front. I'm actually going to finish in the front.
Yeah, you know, every race this year, we've, you know, every short track, for example, we started on the pole in Nashville. I just didn't have enough experience with 200 laps and kind of cost us. And Salem and Toledo, we really had the car to beat, and a pit stop at the end of the race kind of hurt us. And then Madison, we just didn't have long run speed in Madison. But I was telling people going into Winchester, just long run speed, and just I finally felt like I had, you know, the experience and the confidence that we were going to be the guy to beat that day. And it ended up working out. But yeah, we got the lead on that last restart, and the pressure definitely kicked in there because it was our race to lose. And if I made a mistake, I knew Dalton was right there to pounce on it. So it was definitely nerve wracking. Those last 10 laps were definitely the longest 10 laps that I've ever ran in my life.
Wow. Well, congrats again. I'm going to turn it over to Sharon.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It probably felt like an eternity, those last 10 laps, and anxious for you to be down to that last corner of the last lap, headed to the checkered flag. But I want to get into, Chase, a little bit about your history with Cunningham Motorsports, because as you mentioned earlier, you're an open-wheel sprint car racer, and you haven't really raced stock cars that long. 12 races that you have so far in stock cars with Cunningham Motorsports. You actually started at the organization kind of volunteering your time. Talk a little bit about that evolution and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I moved down to North Carolina 2 years ago. I did the Peak Stock Car Dream Challenge with Michael Waltrip Racing, and Ty Norris, the general manager at the time, took a huge liking in me and told me if I wanted to make this a career, he felt like I really needed to move to North Carolina. So I did that, and I really spent a year and a half down here not really knowing what I was doing, didn't have anywhere to go, and just really lost and confused on, you know, what door to go and try to knock down. And I was ready to actually move back to Indiana. I was just going to go start working a job and race sprint cars. And I got a call about a week and a half before I was about ready to give up from Kerry Scherer at the time, and he asked me if I was interested in coming and doing a test for him, and I don't even know how they heard about me or anything, but I said, yeah, I'd love to go down, and I went down to the shop, and just I met Paul Andrews, the general manager, and he just showed me all around the shop, and before I walked out the door, I told him, you know, I don't know anything about stock cars, but I'm more than willing to come here every day and just volunteer my time and, you know, try to learn some stuff. And it ended up when I went to the test, I guess I showed enough speed or something that they were interested enough, and just Brooks Cunningham and Kerry Scherer, I guess, decided that they wanted to give just the local Indiana sprint car kid a shot, and just can't thank them enough. Definitely a blessed to be in this position. Never even thought I'd be running the full season. I would just be happy with running one race, and now here we are with the points lead. So definitely a special feeling.
And you know, it's a special accomplishment, Chase, that you're able to have so much success so quickly, in, you know, without having that much experience in the stock cars, it really is a testament to your entire team. So talk a little bit about your team. I know your crew chief is Chad Bryant. Have you worked with him the whole time, or is he new to you this year?
Well, when I was volunteering, when I first started at Cunningham, I obviously didn't know any of the guys that were even working there, and Chad was kind of the guy that took me under his wing, and he knew I was there and wanted to learn, and he showed me a lot of things. And I ran two races last year for Cunningham, but Chad wasn't my crew chief, but he still, you know, kind of guided me along the way, and he just always had my back there. So he's kind of like a big brother to me, so we have that brotherly relationship. So Chad's always been right there for me, but this year was my first year actually working with Chad and stuff. Couldn't ask for a better guy to have as a crew chief. It's a great friendship that we have, and hopefully we can win this championship together.
Well, that connection that you guys have certainly is evident in the results that you're getting on the track this year. Sal?
Yeah, you know, Chase, what, you know, we it's funny because, you know, we've talked to a lot of drivers, you know, who are making the transition, you know, from dirt, you know, to the stock cars, you know, and you know, I mean, when you look at dirt, you know, that at the sprints and, you know, whatever it may be, you know, I mean, there's a huge following with the dirt, and actually, you know, there's that little kind of like a feud between, I'd rather watch dirt, I'd rather watch, you know, stock cars on the asphalt. What was your biggest, what was the thing that wanted you to make the transition from the dirt to the asphalt?
To be honest, you know, growing up, just you saw guys like Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, you know, now Kyle Larson, just guys that were always, you know, considered one of the best to move on to stock cars. So for me, if you were one of the best race car drivers, you eventually made it to stock cars. So that was always a goal, because I felt like if I made it to stock cars, that meant I was a good race car driver. I'm not saying I am, but just always felt like that was kind of the goal always, was if you made it to stock cars, it meant you'd made it in your career. And stock cars has always been my passion. It always will be, just because my family was so heavily involved, and that's what I grew up around. But it's kind of, if you're going to go to stock cars, it's kind of the stepping stone you have to take, especially in Indiana. To me, Indiana sprint car racing is the toughest competition you're ever raced against. So I think that's one of the reasons, honestly, for the success we've had, is just the competition level in Indiana is so tough. I mean, you go to a racetrack on any given night, and you're going to have to race 20 guys for the win. So it's definitely a great tool, and just I think that's why stock cars are always kind of the goal.
You know, and it's funny that, we're talking to somebody who comes from a dirt background, because Saturday night after covering the Ken and West race, we went to Calistoga, which is where Rico Abreu and Kyle Larson and Bud Cady and them do a lot of racing. And it's really neat to go and watch the sprints over there. Those guys are, I mean, that is a ton of talent right there, what you guys do as far as the dirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think as far as just challenging goes, I mean, a sprint car to me is the toughest car and the most demanding car as far as just getting it around the racetrack. It's just, you have so much power and so little weight. I mean, we weigh 1,200 pounds with driver, and you have around 900 horsepower, and you're on dirt, so you're sliding around, and the thing's wanting to turn over every other corner, and just the racing, you have open wheels, and just it's really tight racing, and, you know, it's 25 laps, so you're going 100% every lap, and it just really teaches you a lot.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I watch it. I'm like, I don't know how those guys are able to do the slide moves and everything that, you know, that you guys do in the dirt. You know, so how does that help you when you made your transition to the asphalt?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, it can't hurt. And one thing as far as just how I always had to have my car set up is I have to be so much looser as far as setup wise compared to a lot of people. I think that's why we have a lot of speed, just as loose as a lot of the time fast. And the looser you can drive it, the better it is. And I think it helps when the track gets hot and slick and greasy, just because, you know, it plays in the dirt guy's advantage, where you really have to throttle the car just because you're overpowered for the racetrack and the grip you have. So I think it definitely helps. I don't think it can hurt. And just the hardest thing for me, though, is the race length, you know, going from 25 laps to 200 laps. It's a totally different kind of racing. So that's the advantages, and I think the disadvantages of, you know, sprint car racing.
Thanks. Okay. With that, I'll turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay. Chase, you know, I've heard that before, that racing on dirt helps you on asphalt, because when it gets slick on the asphalt, you're a little more able to kind of go with that slick surface because you're used to that happening on dirt. Is that pretty much the case?
Yeah, absolutely. And then another thing on dirt is just, I mean, the racetrack literally changes every single corner, every single lap. I mean, one end of the racetrack, the top might be better halfway through the race, and it might move to the bottom just because the dirt changes so much. And that's one thing I think at Winchester this weekend really helped me out a lot. It's just, it was so hot and slick that I ended up running the first probably 80 laps on the bottom, and I moved up to the top in one end. You just had to constantly be searching for the racetrack or what was the fastest groove, and that's one thing pavement guys I don't think have a lot of experience with, is just, they go to a lot of tracks that are just one lane, and, you know, you might be committed to the bottom, or you might be always on the top there, where, like Winchester this weekend, you kind of had to move around and search all over the racetrack, where for a dirt guy, that's something they have to do every night they go race.
Okay. Now, looking forward to the rest of the schedule this season, are there any tracks that you're kind of looking forward? I'm suspecting it might be the dirt tracks. Is that
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Chad, my crew chief, thinks that the dirt race is going to be our biggest struggle of the year. But honestly, the most excited probably race I'm ready for is this week, this coming next weekend at Iowa. That's a place that I have a lot of laps at on iRacing. I've never been there in person, but on iRacing, it's my favorite track by a mile. So I'm excited to go there to see if it's anything like iRacing, and I'm really excited to go back to Salem. That's my home racetrack. Like I said, I grew up 15 minutes from there, and just have a large fan base that comes out for that one. And really felt like we gave away the last win there earlier in the spring, so hopefully we can get one in the fall.
Looking for some redemption there, I see. And I, you know, our apologies for calling Winchester your home track. I wasn't sure how far away Mitchell was from Indiana, and unfortunately, I didn't take the time to look that up. So.
Oh, that's okay. It's not too far. It's about 2.5 hours from my house. Indy's actually 1.5 hours, and Salem's 15 minutes. So I'm definitely lucky to have a lot of racetracks right there close. And I think Kentucky's only about 1 hour and 10 minutes. So a lot of racetracks close to me.
Okay. Well, spoken like a true racer. You live where the racetracks are, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, now before you go, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you. You've already mentioned your next race that's coming up. It's going to be at Iowa Speedway. That's July the 9th, the ARCA 150 presented by Casey's General Stores at Iowa Speedway. It will be on FS2 if folks want to mark their calendar for that now. You will be able to watch that on FS2, and it should run around 8 p.m. Central Time on July the 9th. So let's make sure fans know how they can follow you. You and Cunningham Motorsports do a great job of posting throughout the weekend, and I know fans want to know when you're racing next.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow on Facebook at Chase Briscoe Racing. Toby Wedgwood at Wedgwood Productions does a great job of keeping that updated throughout the week and on race weekends. And obviously on Twitter, you can follow Cunningham Motorsports or myself at Chase Briscoe 5 and on Instagram at Briscoe_5. And try to keep all of them updated as best we can. And also we got ChaseBriscoe.com that just got released not too long ago. So be sure to go check all those out. That's where you can check out the schedule to see where we're going to be at next.
Okay, and Chase, are there any other shout-outs that you want to make before we sign off?
Yeah, obviously, just want to thank you guys for doing this. It's always fun to come on here and talk to you and all the fans, and just thank you to everybody that said congratulations to me, and thank you to Big Time. Just can't thank them enough for coming on board this year. Excited to get them their first win this past week in Winchester. They're an Indiana company as well, so it's really cool for them to have quite a few people there and enjoy their first win as a sponsor, so that was neat. And just can't thank Bruce Cunningham and Kerry Sheridan enough for this opportunity.
Yeah, it's really great that they brought you on, Chase. You've certainly lived up to their expectations, and we have a lot more to look forward to. And you know, if you go to Victory Lane again, we'll probably tap you on the shoulder again to come back and visit.
Well, hopefully I'll be talking to you soon then. I appreciate it.
Okay, Chase. Take care, and good luck out at Iowa.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's our pleasure. All right, Sal, that is Chase Briscoe, and that was a fantastic win for him. Dalton Sargent did not make it easy on Chase Briscoe, but he was able to persevere and come up with that win in the end.
Oh, yeah, Dalton's not going to make it easy on anybody. Not that any driver is going to make it easy on anybody, but especially Dalton. He's still looking for his win. You know what? And Dalton's got a lot of talent. And, you know, Dalton knows his will be coming up pretty soon. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, when and how he's going to get it. But, you know, it's really neat, you know, to see all these young drivers coming through the series. You know, we were talking about it over the weekend at Sonoma. I was talking, you know, with some of the older drivers, you know, of course, you know, David Gilliland, we're still talking over about what happened. And, you know, with the Father Day show, you know, and he looks around the pits, he goes, when I started racing, he goes, there was nobody this young.
Yeah, we talked with him a little bit about that on that Father's Day show, about some of the changes that he's seen in the series over time, because he's grown up in racing, watching his dad Butch race, And so he's seen a lot of changes at the racetrack during his lifetime, and it really was a great conversation with all of the dads that night that joined us, including Scott Gregson and Kurt Raz and Todd Gilliland. Great conversations with all three of those dads.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay, well, Sal, let's go ahead and touch on some of the highlights from the Camping World Truck Series. That was another big race. Christopher Bell and Ben Rhodes were going back and forth. For a while there, I thought Ben Rhodes might come up with his first win, but Christopher Bell took that victory. It was a pretty exciting night.
Yeah, that's what I heard, Sharon. I think I was on the road during the race, and because it was around Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, matter of fact, Friday night. Yeah, Friday night. I was probably still at the track. Come to think of it, it's still at Sonoma doing editing
and
stuff.
Saturday. So.
Okay, Saturday. Yeah, there was no way I was going to watch it because Saturday we're at the. Saturday we had the Canyon West race.
Okay. Well, Christopher Bell came home with the victory, and it was really great to see him make it to victory lane. Again, it's not that many races into the season. They're probably about halfway through their regular season. But Christopher Bell has struggled throughout the season, and he admitted that in his post-race interview. So to be able to kind of overcome some of those challenges and to be able to go to victory lane and celebrate that win has to be pretty satisfying for him.
We've been following him, you know, even through, you know, making the transition from dirt, you know, into asphalt, you know. I think we've had him on the show a couple of times and talked to him about it, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, for him to get his win, you know, I mean, it's really for the amount of time he spent in the series, he really got a win really early.
Well, he did, but now keep in mind he won his first race on dirt at Eldora Speedway last year. This is his first race that he's won this season. But the second race in the Camping World Truck Series after winning on dirt at Eldora, you got to think he's really looking forward to that Eldora race that's coming up later this month.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure him and a few other drivers, you know, I'm sure Rico also. Yeah, I'm sure Rico's also looking forward to getting back on dirt too, you know, with the trucks. It's going to be exciting, you know, because, you know, you got drivers, you know, that can. We even seen the surprise was Austin Dillon went on dirt, you know,
yes.
and Austin
yes.
doesn't even come from a dirt background.
Yes, yes, but I think he likes those slick tracks, and it tends to suit his driving style, it seems. But getting back to the Camping World Truck Series race, Ben Rhodes had his career best finish of a second. He was going to be on the show on Thursday night. Something came up and he wasn't able to be there. I just want to let fans know we have confirmed his rescheduled date, and that's going to get into next week because next Monday, Sal, is July 4th. We're not going to do the show that night. And then keep in mind, too, that same week, Thursday night, when we normally do our preview show, the Camping World Truck Series is going to be racing at Kentucky. So we thought what we would do in light of the type of week that it is next week, we're going to consolidate to just one show next week. It'll be Tuesday night, July the 5th, our usual time, 8:30 to 10 or 10:30. I'm probably going to have somebody to take over our Hot Topic sound off at that point. And Ben Rhodes will be our guest that night. He has been confirmed that he will be our guest at 9 p.m. on July the 5th. And what's going to be great about that is that Ben Rhodes comes from Kentucky. So this is going to be a home track race for him, and we'll definitely look forward to chatting with him that Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll catch up with him after getting his career best finish at Gateway this past weekend and heading into his home track at Kentucky. Another great finish, Sal, was Daniel Hemric, came home with a third-place finish. He's racing with Brad Keselowski Racing this weekend, this year.
Yeah, Daniel's been, third-place finish for Daniel. You know, you got to, really look at that one, too. You know, he finally, he's getting up there. You know, he actually came from NTS Motorsports, is who he drove for last year. Then Brad Keselowski picked him up at the end of the season. And because I think the last race that Daniel ran was a snowball derby for NTS. And that was his last race for, and then after that, then he started the season out with Brad Keselowski Racing.
Yep, and that's three guys, Sal. Christopher Bell, Ben Rhodes, Daniel Hemric. They beat Johnny Sauter, who came in fourth, and Matt Crafton ran into a little bit of trouble on the track, and, of course, he did not get the finish he wanted by finishing 27th, but they beat the veterans of the track. And even Eric Jones, who finished in the fifth place, who was last year's Camping World Truck Series champion. So that's a big accomplishment for all three of those drivers.
Yeah, it is. You know, and once again, you look at the youth, it's coming into it's coming into the, all the series, and, not even the Canon West, but just every series, whether it be, even Cup. I mean, we got Cup drivers that aren't even old enough to race Daytona yet, they're still making their, their move up, and I mean, look at Chase Elliott. He's 20 years old when he toasted on Saturday the win at Sonoma. He had a toast with a glass of water. Because he wasn't old
exactly.
enough to drink the wine.
Exactly.
and he has until
fantastic.
Yeah, he has until November when he turns 21.
So, and I'm sure we'll see Chase Elliott in Victory Lane before too long. He's been a very strong contender, but we'll get to the Sprint Cup Series and the Can-Am West here shortly. Some other shout outs, Herman Quiroga, he was on our preview show not too long ago, came home with a seventh place finish for Red Horse Racing. That was a great finish for him. John Hunter Nemechek finished in sixth, Kaz Grala eighth, Ben Kennedy also with Red Horse Racing, followed by Timothy Peters. I'm sorry. Ben Kennedy used to be with Red Horse Racing. Let me rephrase that. Timothy Peters with Red Horse Racing finished in 10th. Ben Kennedy finished in 9th. So some great finishes there for a lot of great drivers. And the Camping World Truck Series, I don't believe they're racing this weekend, but they are returning, as I mentioned, for Kentucky Speedway and will be racing on Thursday night. A programming note there for fans to be aware of. The Camping World Truck Series will be racing Thursday, July the 7th. So definitely make a note of that. Any other shout-outs that you want to make? You want to talk about the fight that took place, Sal, between John West Townley and Spencer Gallagher?
Man, the only fight I seen this weekend was fighting that heat that was at Sonoma. I missed a good one, but that's the only fight we had was trying to stay hydrated and not pass out there.
Okay, well, I will say this today that Spencer Gallagher from GMS Racing issued an apology today. And so he is taking responsibility for the situation. I'll go ahead and read that apology as soon as I can pull it up here. He basically says, I would like to take the time to address my actions at Gateway Motorsports Park this past weekend. First, I'd like to apologize to John West Townley, additionally to his team and fans. I'm sorry. The incident earlier in the race was not intentional, and it certainly was not meant to cause bigger problems later in the event. My crew, who have worked so hard to get me to where I am this season, did not deserve to have their night ended in that way. My teammates and all of the guys back at the shop deserve more respect than was shown on Saturday night. I would also like to apologize to my team owner, who wholeheartedly believes in this organization and expects all of us to perform at our best at all times, no matter the situation. And finally, I would like to extend a sincere apology to the NASCAR community, representatives, and fans. I love the sport just as much as all of you, and I'm ashamed that I was a part of an incident that has allowed so many to view what we do in a negative light. So that is the apology that was issued by Spencer Gallagher through GMS Racing today. So so fans know that has taken place.
Yeah, that's wild when you think about, that just shows that their emotions, they're human. You know what, and sometimes, I'm sure things happen, if they don't want to happen, like when they get in fights like this, but, at least, it takes the bigger person, to go on, and hold a press conference, say how sorry he is, for his actions, that he should have never, acted like that.
Well, and it's interesting to me because John West Townley is the one who kind of initiated the incident by when he got out of his car, he came around, it looked like, just to talk to him, and ended up throwing the first punch. I'm not sure exactly what happened before that. It sounds like Spencer Gallagher feels like he does know what that is. It sounds like it wasn't intentional. And that he put that apology out there so that fans know that he's sincerely sorry. So definitely an interesting situation for sure. I know a lot of fans were happy to see the emotion shown, Sal.
Oh, yeah, the fans love it when they fight. I mean, we see it at Orange Show every weekend that they race here at Orange Show. And when a fight breaks out, I mean, the fans are up on their – look at hockey games. It's another one. It's a good challenging sport. But, man, when a fight breaks out, you could be a non-fan, but I guarantee you'll be up on your feet.
Yeah. Well, with that, Sal, I think we'll go ahead and leave the Camping World Truck Series. As I say, there'll be more action Thursday, July the 7th at Kentucky Speedway for the Camping World Truck Series. So that's a couple of weeks, and they will be back in action. But now let's go ahead and get into the Sprint Cup Series. Sprint Cup Series race, I know we're going to be talking about the K&N race with Noah Gregson, so that's why I want to go ahead and talk about the Sprint Cup Series race now. I thought the finish of that race was absolutely fantastic. Fans could not ask for anything better. And I've come to be a huge, huge fan of road course racing, and I thought Sonoma put on a great show.
Yeah, they did. It's funny because the fans, there's certain races, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be IndyCar, whether it be, just any kind of race, but you always get there's always these few races, that the fans, they come out to watch. Sonoma is one of them. It's a road course. They park up in the hill and they camp all weekend. And it's really cool because they have shows bring them back and forth. But they get that opportunity, and it's a road course. And it's wine country. And it's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. But all in all, Sonoma. I really take my hat off to Dana Brandon, who's the media relations director there. I mean, I get 2 weeks before the race, I'm getting two emails a day, on just stuff. They're keeping the fans constantly keeping them informed on what's going on at that, for the race.
Yeah, and I really want to kind of get into the race itself. You were there, Sal, but let's talk about the significance of Tony Stewart's win. There just so many different levels. He's 32 points or 32nd in the series point standings. He has to be in the top 30 to make the chase for that win to qualify him for the chase. So little doubt that he's going to be able to do that in the upcoming races, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he's, you know, there's a lot of people have already, a lot of websites have already made mistakes. They said, you know, with the win, Tony's already in. You know, and he hasn't even, you know, like you said, he hasn't even, he, you know, he's still points away. Not many, but, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you know, he could start having bad races again, you know, and he doesn't make it. But, you know, a lot of websites have gone out on the limb and said, you know, Tony with the win, he's in.
Well, he's not in yet. He's got to be in the top 30 in points. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of confidence that he will be able to do that, especially going into Daytona International Speedway this weekend. That's another track, not one of Tony's favorite tracks, but it is a track that he can do very well at, and especially at the summer race at Daytona.
Oh, yeah. He's gonna be strong. You know, I'm not going to go on a limb and say he's going to make it until he's in. But you know, he's got momentum on his side again. You know, let's put it that way.
Okay, and then talk about. I know you were at the track. Talk about the reaction of Tony Stewart's win immediately after he crossed that finish line. From your perspective at the track.
Oh, that place. I've seen a lot of winners and fan reaction, but the fan reaction that Tony got when he crossed that finish line, the fan reaction just when he came, when he passed Hamlin, and it's loud. And the fan reaction over, I mean, it was louder than the cars that were coming by after they crossed the finish line. You can hear the fans over the noise of the cars as they're coming in, because the victory lane is right there next to you. It's right behind pit road, and I'll tell you, it was amazing.
And I was not only impressed by the fan reaction to Tony's win, but what about, you know, all the different teams that kind of came to the pit wall there and wanted to congratulate Tony on his win.
Oh yeah, there was like you said, you know, all the teams that went over there, you know, they all congratulated him, you know, going to the window. You know, it was a big thing for NASCAR. The teams knew it was big for not only for Tony Stewart, but they knew it was big for the sport, because, you know, now you have, you know, the same thing with Jeff Gordon last year when he won at, I can't remember what race he won at offhand, but the one race that he won off, they stayed way after. And even Fox Sports stayed on it, you know, and just kept going back and forth and back and forth, you know, on the victory celebration.
Yeah, I know. It was huge. And you could tell by Jeff Gordon's reactions just how huge that was. Same thing with Tony Stewart and his reaction and all the fans. What was kind of funny, I thought, leading into the race is the news coverage kept talking about how cantankerous Tony Stewart had been over the weekend. And in fact, during the race, they asked him how he was doing. And he said, well, I'm not mad at anybody, or I'm not ticked off, something to that effect. So things are good. Oh, they asked him if he was having any fun racing the race. And he said, well, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not ticked off. So it must be a good day. And, you know, that was kind of funny to hear Tony respond that way during the race. And then to see him go on then and win was fantastic. I'm sure if he was upset with anybody, it was all forgotten by the time he got to victory lane.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, because Saturday, he was ticked off Saturday. He was very, very upset Saturday.
He was pretty cantankerous.
Oh, he was upset with the fan that tried getting an autograph, and security told the guy, you know what, he's not doing autographs, he's late. He was doing the thing with Ernie Irvin, and the fan
right,
was persistent. And security stepped in, you know, and Tony pushed security out of the way, and he handled it. And they told security afterwards, he goes, I have your guys in the back. And you know, they kind of chuckled about it afterwards. I was talking with Art, the head of security, you know, when it happened. He said that Tony went over there and took matters in his own hands and told the fan, what was up. And I thought it was funny as heck because, you know, security, there's 5-6 security around him, but yet he pushed him out of the way and handled it himself. But, you know, that's just the fire that, you know, that Tony has. I mean, I was looking at the Victory Lane pictures today after I got home from work, and, you know, just to see him get out of the car, you know, then afterwards, you know, he sat down, you know, and Kurt Busch came and sat down with him for a little bit, you know, and, you know, of course, you know, the drivers came up, congratulated him, you know, Jeff Gordon came up and congratulated him, you know, I mean, they knew how big this win was for, you know, not only for Tony, but, you know, for NASCAR itself, you know, they needed Tony in Victory Lane. I mean, this might be the last race that he wins in his NASCAR career.
Right. And Tony Stewart, it's good to see him be able to have that win in his last season with the Sprint Cup Series. You know, everybody wants to go out on top, and Jeff Gordon was able to do that last year, being one of the final four. And I've said all along that it would not surprise me if Tony doesn't come on strong and make it into this chase. And if he does that, look out, world, because we remember what he did in 2011. And I think the kind of grit that he showed at Sonoma is exactly the type of grit he would give if he were in the chase. Now, you know, Tony Stewart is not at his prime right now, but he still has that competitive spirit. And it's going to be fun watching to see what he does the remainder of the regular season and then going into the chase.
It's funny, Sharon, because even a Victory Lane, I thought when Zippy came up to him, I thought he was going to break down in tears.
When who?
Zippy.
Oh, Zippy, yeah. They showed a picture of that. And, yeah, I think he did get kind of emotional when
he did, and as a matter of fact, I have the picture, and I'm gonna post it here in a couple minutes. I'm gonna post it, but I have the whole sequence, and you can see him smiling. And then after that, then he just stuck his face down in the Zippy's, you know, shoulder, and
yeah,
and you know, it was
yeah, you're
very
posting
emotional.
That on Facebook or Twitter, Sal?
I'll post it on Facebook. I don't.
Okay.
I was going to do it on Twitter, but I'll do it on Facebook.
I'll try
it lasts
grab
longer.
It.
If I put it on Twitter, it'll last about 2 seconds.
Okay.
Twitter, it gets pushed down.
Do you mind if I post it on Twitter?
No, you can post it on Twitter. Matter of fact, I'm looking at it. I'm trying to pull it out right now so I can.
Okay. Well, the win for Tony Stewart was really, really huge, as you say. It was huge for Tony Stewart and his team. He's the leader of the Stewart Haas Racing as the team owner. And one of the questions they asked him, too, in the pre-race was, what would Tony, the team owner, tell Tony, the driver, right now? And he said, I'd tell Tony, the team owner, to just be quiet, and I'm being nice here. And let the driver do what the driver's going to do. That's apparently what he did. And that obviously worked for Tony Stewart. I just thought the finish was fantastic. It's the kind of racing fans have been begging for a long, long time. And I tell you what, we are getting some fantastic racing this season that I think is the best we've seen. I've said it over and over again in a long, long time. And I'm all for whatever they're doing to make this happen in the Sprint Cup Series, because I can't wait to see how this rules package is going to play out in the chase, Sal.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting how it plays out. And, to see Tony Stewart back in the chase, you know, when he does make it, you know, it's going to be, it's just going to add that much more to it, you know. And now you're now you got to wonder, okay, now that he's in, you know, now you got Harvick and you have Kurt Busch, you know, and you know, these are a lot bigger teams than your local Saturday night, you know, racing. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody always says, you know, when you get teams that have 3, 4, 5 cars, you know, you're always going to have one or two. And they said that with Hendricks when Casey Kane came over, you know, they said, oh, when Casey comes over, you know, he's going to be like the guinea pig car, you know, for the rest of the drivers, you know? So, you know, you wonder, I mean, they're all teams, you know, they're all going to have their data, you know, but it's going to be interesting, you know, to see, you know, how much fire Tony has when he goes into the chase.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, he's got a lot of fans that are going to be watching and bringing that viewership to the chase as well. Now, Denny Hamlin, let's we've got to make sure we do a shout out for Denny Hamlin as well, as well as a few other drivers. Denny Hamlin could have done some things there with Tony Stewart, but those two showed a tremendous amount of respect for each other, I think, coming to the finish line, or coming, you know, in those last laps.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, everybody, they kind of booed Hamlin when he made the pass on Tony in the back. You know, I think it was in turn 7. You know, and the fans were, you know, they started booing. You know, they didn't actually see it because they hadn't shown the replay, but it was a clean pass. You know, it wasn't nothing that Hamlin did dirty. You know, he got up underneath them, you know, jumped on the curb. You know, and that's one of the passing zones. You know, there was a lot of passing done there throughout the day. You know, and, of course, you know, like Hamlin said, you know, when, you know, he knew he had a feeling something was going to happen in 11, and it just happened he went wide. And then, of course, then you get the fans that say, oh, yeah, well, Hamlin gave him the line, you know, because he wanted his old teammate to win, you know, and he felt it was the proper thing to do. You know what? These drivers, the proper thing for them to do is to win. They're not going to give a race away. You know, so all that stuff about, you know, Hamlin did it, you know, because, you know, he loves Tony. Yeah, he loves Tony off the track, but on the track, you know what? You know, a win is a win, especially.
He's going to go for the win.
Especially, Hamlin's never had a win on a road course, so I mean, he was tasting. Shoot, I'll bet when he was going down to 8, 9, and 10, he was already tasting. He was licking his chops to taste that wine.
Exactly. I don't think it's in any driver's DNA to let another driver win a race. It just doesn't happen. It just is so contradictory to what racing is all about. All of these drivers are out there to win the race. So Denny Hamlin, like you say, has never won on a road course before. This would be a huge, huge win for Denny Hamlin. So he's not going to just give that away. He wanted that win as much as he knew Tony Stewart needed that win. He said it at the end of the race that he just was using his rearview mirror a little bit too much there at the end. But, Sal, I want to get into our next guest here. He's already arrived, and I know you like to do the introductions there and set that up. So.
Okay, our next guest is Jefferson Pitts Racing driver Noel Gregson. This past weekend, very, very impressive run. Should have had the win, but you know what? When you look at the what Noah's been through this whole season, I mean, he's had, I mean, I would say a dream season with the wins that he's had. He's picked up his Can-Am West East win last 2 weeks ago that we had him on the show, and you know, and now it's an honor to have him back. With that, we want to welcome Noah back to the show. Welcome to the show, Noah.
Thank you. I appreciate having me on.
You know, Noah, it was, gosh, what more could be said about Saturday? You know, it was a really great weekend, not only for, you know, but for the whole Jefferson Pitts team. You know, both you and your teammate Grayson Raz led laps. Of course, you led the most laps. But I mean, the poise and the professionalism and especially the talent you showed out there, you know, on the road course, you know, when it looked like Ryan Partridge was going to be the one that was going to run away with it, you know, gosh, I mean, it was just an amazing run by you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And going back to the good run with both myself and my teammate Grayson Raz, it is really cool to be out there racing against Ryan Partridge, and very cool experience to race against Chase Elliott. We got to lead some laps, both myself and my teammate Grayson Raz. So overall, it was a really good day for Jefferson Pitts Racing, and we're just trying to keep the momentum rolling. We just come off a 2-3 finish at Sonoma. We had another second and third place finish at Orange Show Speedway. So we've definitely been good this year, and just looking forward to the future.
And you know, Noah, when you look back, you know, at the whole weekend in itself at Sonoma, you know, to lead the laps, you know, and have a good, you know, impressive run, you know, and how much time did you guys spend on the off season, you know, as far as, you know, working on the road course program, you know, to get ready for this race? But not only that, then you got the doubleheader at Miller that's coming up. You got two races in one weekend. That's really going to shake up the points.
Yeah, we spent a little bit of time on a road course program this year. I felt like JPR has always had a good road course program. Jeff Jefferson and Jerry Pitts definitely have those cars hooked up at Sonoma and at the other road courses. But we went to VIR earlier this year, and I was running top four all day, and my teammate Grayson had a pretty successful run there too. Just got up, caught up in some bad luck there, but overall it was really good at VIR, and I think that if we wouldn't have had some part of my functions, that we would have been better. But it's better to have it there than it would be to have it probably arguably the biggest race of the year at Sonoma. Really hard points day for guys who got caught up in the wreck early on, but we got some good stuff this year, and I'm really excited for the road course races to come. I know I have the confidence going into these next couple road course races, so I'm really pumped up.
Thanks. And with that, you know, I'm going to turn it over to Sharon, to the host of the show. Sharon?
Hey, Noah. Congratulations on a great run out there at Sonoma Raceway this weekend. You were the highest finishing Can-Am West driver after winning at Stafford out in the East. The week before, that has to be an amazing feeling for you to be able to go from coast to coast and be able to run so well.
Yeah, it's really good knowing that we have a shot at winning pretty much every weekend. We've had a lot of top three finishes lately. Ran into a little bit of trouble at Colorado, just trying some new stuff out with the setup. But I definitely know we have Jefferson Pitts Racing, my teammate Grayson Raz, he finished third at Colorado. So these past six or seven races, we've at least one of us has had top three finishes, and we've definitely been really good. And those guys, the rest of the teams, they know we're there to contend for wins. So it's a big confidence boost moving into the future. Just knowing we could show up, and I feel like these next couple tracks, the next track we go to on the west is State Line Speedway in 2 weeks. Grayson Raz and myself, we finished second and third there last year with James Bickford winning the race. So James Bickford isn't racing here this year. So hopefully we can move up one more position, both of us, and finish 1-2. That'd be pretty cool. But I know we got good stuff, so I'm really pumped up.
Okay, well, you know what, your Jefferson Pitts team is really doing a fantastic job. The team that has been known as the premier team in the Can-Am West has been Bill McAnally Racing, and he brings guys out to the east to race as well. So you're competing right up there with some of the big name teams, and just talk about the evolution of that with Jefferson Pitts Racing and what it means for that organization.
Yeah, we're a two-car team, occasionally three-car team. So being able to go up against guys who they're bringing a lot of sponsorship dollars in with Toyota and Napa, so we're not as funded as that team Bill McNally Racing, but we definitely produce results that are right up there with them. We haven't won any races this year, but we've been so close so many times this year. So we're definitely there, and we have what it takes. And I think that showed this weekend. Is I was joking around with my crew chief, Jerry Pitts, after the race. I told him we were first in class because I finished second to Chase Elliott, and my teammate was third to me. So it was a really cool experience, and it's just been awesome to be able to race with those guys. And we're going to look forward to the future, and those guys definitely know that we can win races. We've already proven it out in the East. So it's a cool opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it really is a cool opportunity, and both yourself and Grayson Raz are doing just an amazing job there at Jefferson Pitts Racing. And what do you think it is, Noah? I mean, can you put a finger on what exactly it is that's made your team click and made that organization click this season? Because you guys are knocking on the door of getting that win. And I think when that happens, it's going to be no looking back.
Yeah, well, I think it's the little things that all add up. I think the biggest thing is the team chemistry between the crew chiefs, Jeff Jefferson and Jerry Pitts. They really have a good bond together, as well as the driver to crew chief bond. And then the bond that Grayson and I have, we're best friends off the track. So it's really cool when we can take our helmets off and go up in the hauler and really discuss on what we feel like the car is doing. We really connect really well, and we help each other out, whether it be with lines or just figuring out how to get through the corner. So just being able to connect with someone, and it always helps when there's someone to talk to and kind of debrief. So I think the team chemistry is the biggest thing, just being able to connect with everyone. We're all out there to do our jobs, and that's really to win, but we're also there to have fun, and if we're not having fun, there's no really point in being there. So that's what we try and do, and it's not all serious. It's we have fun when the times are needed, but we lock down and do business when it's needed as well. So I think the team chemistry is the biggest thing on why we've had a little bit of success, and we've already had broken through that first win this year at Connecticut in the East. So looking forward to getting some more West wins, and as well as some more East wins.
Right, right, and I'm sure that will happen. And Sal, I know you know that Noah Gregson knows how to relax and enjoy things, but he knows how to get serious when it comes time to get inside that car, right?
Oh yeah. You know, I've been fortunate, Sharon, that this year, you know, I've been able to cover five of the six Canon West races. And I'll tell you, watching the Jefferson Pitts team, you know, of Noah and Grayson, you know, the way they are, you know, they're real loose, you know, during the weekend. But when it comes time to, when it's showtime, you know, then it's all seriousness. And I'll tell you, watching Noah, you know, come through the ranks, you know, he's really come a long way.
Okay, so did you have any other questions for him?
Yeah, actually, no. You know what? Now we're starting to get into the middle of the season. You know, of course, you know, comes the end, you know, where, you know, it's really going to get, you know, it's time to start grinding. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, you got State Line coming up, and then you got Iowa. You got the combined race, you know, with the East and the West series.
Yep. We got some more races coming up. I was working out to do it down here for the week, and we've just been hanging out, just trying to get better, and we're definitely focusing on racing and the future to come, and ultimately trying to win races. That's the biggest thing, is wins are everything. So just doing all it takes to get those wins. We've been so close so many times, and just need to get a couple more by the end of the year, and we'll definitely be contending for the championships on both sides.
You know, and for some of the young racers out there, you know, that might be listening, you know, you're still young yourself, you know, and of course you've come a long way. What would be like one piece of advice, you know, that you would give me, you know, as far as, you know, wanting to, you know, we see it at the track a lot, you know, they want to race Bandos today, Legends tomorrow. They want to be in a late model, super late by the end of the year.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest advice is just try your best 100% of the time and ultimately have fun. If it's no fun, like I said earlier, there's no real point in racing, I guess you'd say. So you're going to have your bad days, but anytime you could be in a race car, it's always a good day to me. So just keep your head up when things aren't really going your way on the racetrack, and just don't ever quit. Give it all you have, and there's always going to be another day in the race car, so just make the best of every day out there.
You know, and actually talking a little bit more about Saturday's race, you know, it kind of, you know, got off to a, you know, bad start, you know, with the points leader Todd Gillen, and of course, you know, Chris Eggleston got caught in it, you know, and, you know, a few other drivers got caught in it, you know, then the race got started itself. You know, as you're starting, you know, to, you know, kind of work your way, you know, up to the front, you know, to finally leading, what was it that you spotted? Because I'm pretty sure you guys had, what, two or three spotters this weekend, you know, around the track. Well, what were some of the things that a spotter tells a driver, especially on a road course like that?
Yeah, Sonoma's tricky because there's some blind spots and everything. We just used one spotter, but some of the parts on the track were kind of up to me on just knowing where the cars were. There's some blind spots that the spotter can't see. We were only using one, and that was my spotter, Brennan Reynolds, and he definitely kept my head under me. He coached me all the way through the race, so he ran really well there last year, and he knows what it takes to be good there, so I think the connection with him and being able to relate with him and really connect with him is the biggest thing, and we were just able to get the car working right, and it's challenging because you're kind of on your own, like I said earlier, but it's a lot of fun on those road courses. Sonoma's really tricky and challenging. You have to save your tires. We were doing 64 laps on one set of tires, and so that's a lot for that place because it wears on the compound that we were on for. It was really soft, so you can definitely burn your tires off. So Brandon McReynolds was definitely coaching me the whole way through, just telling me to save my tires and really make it to the end. I felt like we were definitely one of the guys to beat, myself and Grayson Rass. And Chase Elliott was saving his tires pretty much the whole race, and that's where I think he got us at, is if I could have just gone back and saved those tires just a little bit more throughout the race, I think we would have been in victory lane. But I feel like you have to lose that race before you win that race, just because it's so tricky and so technical to get around that racetrack to really know what's needed at the end of the race.
You know, and actually, you know, Chase talked to the, you know, a little bit about, you know, the way the cautions fell. He says, you know, he goes, if the cautions wouldn't have fell the way they did, he goes, there's a chance I might not have won the race, or if we won, especially with the last caution. He said, you know, he goes because no one was really putting up a really you know, he was really strong. Is there anything maybe different, you know, that you could have maybe done on that last restart, you know, from the last restart to the checkered flag?
I think I put up a solid fight there at the end. I knew he was fast all weekend. He's sat on the pole, led a couple laps at the beginning, and I knew what his strategy was, and that was just to drop back, save tires, and let us get out there and So track position's key at Sonoma, but I feel late in the race on 64-lap old tires that you definitely need to have a little bit of life in them. And with all those cautions, the heat cycles kind of wore him out a little bit there in the late stages, and that's where I think he got me. I feel like if I would have saved my tires just a little bit more and just rode around there, maybe in second or third, kind of hung around him, then I would have been good in the later stages of the race, but I think we're good. Just that last restart, we would have got it with maybe two laps to go. I would have been in victory lane, but he was going to get me regardless. I messed up in turn four, swung a little wide there with three to go, and he was able to pass me. But if I would have hit my marks on that corner, I can almost guarantee he would have got me later off in the race. So he was just better there at the end of the race, but put up a good fight there at the end, and was definitely trying my hardest to get there in victory lane.
All right. Sharon?
No, I want to get into the fact that, you know, this is a companion race with the Sprint Cup Series at Sonoma Raceway, and the Sprint Cup drivers all look forward to racing out at Sonoma. And then with the K&N guys being there as well, are there opportunities for you to kind of interact with any of those Sprint Cup drivers? And did you get an opportunity to do that at all?
Yeah, it was really cool. So I ran this race last year, and I got to talk to Austin Dillon and Trevor Bain before the race last year at Driver Intro. So that was like a dream come true to actually get to talk to those Cup guys. And I was really looking forward to this, and we were in Driver Intros again, and I got to talk to Chase. So really, many people get to say that. So it was a really cool experience.
Well, wait a second. I'm going to stop you just a minute, Noah, because it was a little bit garbled, and we didn't catch all of what you said there. So if you could just go back and repeat it a little bit. I think at the point that you were talking to Chase at Driver Introductions.
Yeah, I was talking to Chase at Driver Intros, and it was really cool just being able to interact with him. He's a Cup driver, and he's been really close to winning some Cup races. So to be able to just kind of pick his brain for a little bit was really big for me. Not racing for too long, I've always looked up to the guys in the Cup Series. So to be there talking to one of them is a really cool experience.
Yeah, it's really great when NASCAR gives you guys that kind of an opportunity with these companion-type races, and I can't think of a better track to do it at than Sonoma. And you know, I know we've done this before, Noah, but I want to talk about your team. We talked about Jefferson Pitts a little bit. I know your team owners are very much involved with, like, the crew chiefing and all of that. But let's do a shout-out for them in that regard, your spotters and all those guys.
Yeah, my crew chief, Jerry Pitts, is he's the guy who really calls all the shots and is the reason that we succeed out there. The crew guys, they've been doing a phenomenal job just getting all the changes done quickly so we can get back out on the track. And my spotter, Brandon McReynolds, for getting me through all the wrecks and just getting me around the racetrack. But it's definitely a team sport, and I'm very thankful to have the team around me. And my teammate, Grayson Raz, he's been a huge help to me, just being able to debrief with him and just kind of learn stuff that he's done. And he can pick my brain a little bit of what I've done. So it's really cool to be able to talk to someone like a teammate with him. He's one of my best friends, so we really connect good, and it helps us on the racetrack at the end of the day.
Absolutely, and I think it's so great too that Brendan McReynolds is spotting for you, and the experience that he brings having raced in the K&N Pro Series is pretty fantastic, that you've got that depth of information that you can draw on within the organization. Sal, final comments before we let Noah go.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Brandon McReynolds, you know, and we always think about, you know, Brandon being, you know, with the, you know, with Bill McAnally Race, you know, because that's who he raced with for, you know, a couple seasons, you know, that he comes over to Jefferson Pitts. And, you know, and helps out. And I mean, the experience that Brandon brings, you know, from his 2 years in the season with the series, I mean, you know, it's got to be a huge help, you know, for, you know, to have him up in the spotter stand for you.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a huge help. And I think he really fits in with Jefferson Pitts Racing. it's really cool to be able to work with Brandon himself. I think he likes it a little bit better over at Jefferson Pitts Racing than he does at BMR. So we like to have fun over at JPR, and it's been a tremendous help he's been to me. Just being able to communicate with him, he has a lot of experience. He won at Iowa 2 times last year, so it's a really good opportunity as a young driver to talk to someone who's been going up through the ranks like myself, and who's kind of battled the same issues I've been facing so far in my career. So just being able to communicate with someone who's already been there and done that, it's a great opportunity, and I definitely listen to him. He's very wise and definitely knows his stuff.
You know, and then of course, you know, then you know you have your Super Late Model program, you know, where you have Dustin Ash, you know, who's another driver, you know, and team owner, you know, who's got. I mean, Dustin's got a ton of experience, a ton of racing knowledge, and a ton of everything, you know, whatever you can think of, all the way from Legends all the way to the Super Lates.
Yeah, Dustin has helped me throughout my career so far. Started in Bandoleros and then moved up into the Legend cars and started racing with him in the Legend cars. So he's been a huge help to me. I wouldn't be here without Dustin. He introduced me to the guys at Jefferson Pitts Racing and has really taught me most of everything I've known with the race car so far in my career. So without him, I wouldn't be running the K&N series, at least not with Jefferson Pitts Racing. So he kind of introduced me with these guys, and it's really taken off from there, and I'm very thankful that I've gotten to know Dustin, and we've become very good friends this last couple of years. So he's been a tremendous help for me throughout my career, and I'm just very thankful to be able to meet him.
And with that, no, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon for final comments.
Okay, Noah. First of all, again, thank you so much for being here. This is 2 weeks in a row. I feel like we need to pull up a chair and put your name on it at our Fan for Racing Roundtable here, because you're a pretty frequent visitor, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be here. I know your schedule is a busy one. And, Noah, we wish you the best as you continue the season, and you're racing where next?
I'm going to Columbus, Ohio this weekend for K&N East Race. Then we're going to State Line Speedway up in Idaho for K&N.
Okay, so that's going to be two consecutive weeks again that you're crisscrossing the country here. And, again, it takes a lot of effort on your part to make that work, and you make it seem so seamless. So congratulations to you there, and I know fans can follow you at Noah Gregson and on Twitter, Facebook, where else?
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. I try and post as much as possible of just kind of what I do in my life so they can get a better a view of really what us race car drivers do. It's not all about racing. We have a life just like them. So you can follow me at Noah Gregson on all those social media sites. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you again for being here. And safe travels to you and your family. And go get them. We'll be here when you get that next win.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care, Noah.
Thanks.
All right. That was Noah Gregson in the K&N West Series with Jefferson Pitts Racing. A fantastic race with Chase Elliott in Sonoma, Sal. And he's the highest finishing K&N West driver. So another big accomplishment for Noah Gregson. 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah. They put on a heck of a show. I'll tell you that, Sharon. And when you see the replay, you know it's going to be, you know, you'll see it firsthand. But yeah, it was a really good run by him. You know, by Grayson Raz and you know by the whole team. You know, and I'll tell you, they Bolton put on one heck of a fight.
They sure did. And you know, he's a fierce competitor, and it really shows in the racing that he does. Now, the Chevy's Fresh Mex 200 will air on NBCSN this Thursday, June the 30th, at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 8 p.m. Pacific. So check your local listings. Make sure you got the right time. Set those DVRs and check out this race. It doesn't take a lot of time out of your day to watch a K&N Pro Series race, but it's some of the best racing that you will see. I think Sonoma will not disappoint in the K&N West race that took place there this past weekend. Sal, from your perspective, the highlight of the K&N West race.
You know, there was a lot of highlights shared. One of them, of course, you know, was Noah and Grayson finishing second and third. Gosh, what the heck is wrong with my computer? Acting up on me. This is crazy. Anyways, so, you know, that was one of them. Another one's Riley Herbst, finishing fifth behind Ryan Partridge, who basically Ryan Partridge was Riley's driver coach when he was racing here at Irwindale last season. But, you know, Riley's had and you've seen in the video that's up on your Facebook page. You know, I talked to Riley about, you know, his up and down season.
Yeah.
You know, this was before the race. And look at it, and then he comes back and he finishes fifth, you know, in front of, you know, a lot of big names. And I'll tell you, he had a really good run on Saturday. It was really impressive to see him. I think at one time he got up as high as fourth, you know, before Ryan came, you know, went around him. But I mean, this is a driver that's got, you know, no experience on road courses, you know, and you know, so when you look at where Riley finished, you know, he was not only was he the highest finishing rookie, you know, and of course that goes along, you know, with you know, being the highest finishing driver since we've ever been on a road course. So, I mean, really got to give a shout out to Riley Herbst. I mean, you know what? I congratulated him after the race and told him, you know what? I said, you know, you ran a really good race, and it was neat to see, you know, run up front, you know, as high as he did.
Absolutely. And Sal's talking about the video. He did an interview with Todd Gilliland and Riley Herbst, and then also standing there and who added a couple of comments were Riley Herbst's dad, Troy Herbst. And that is posted at fanforacing.com if you want to see it there. But it's also posted at all of our social media outlets with a link to Fan for Racing so that you'll be able to watch that video. Now, another thing that I wanted to make sure we mentioned here, Sal, before we run out of time, Riley, Chris Eggleston told us a couple weeks ago that he felt that at Sonoma there would be a shakeup in the points series standings, and that is indeed the case. Todd Gilliland has been leading the series points. He is now second. Chris Eggleston is third, Noah Gregson fourth, and Grayson Raz is fifth. In first place is Ryan Partridge. So Ryan Partridge takes over the series point standings after Sonoma Raceway.
Yeah, he did take over the points, you know, and, you know, it was a huge shakeup, you know, you know, now Ryan's, you know, on top of the heap, you know, now he's one going to be driving off the target on him, you know, for the, you know, not for the remainder of the season, you know, but as long as he, up until the next race. But, you know, he was another strong performance by Ryan Partridge. You know, he ran up front, you know, he also led some laps, you know, he made it look like it was going to be the Ryan Partridge, invitational, you know, you know, with these road courses, you never know what's going to happen. You know, when they start getting to the latter parts of the race, you know, a few cautions fall, you know, a couple of red flags, you know, and they stop and, you know, and then anything can happen.
Absolutely. And I think it's always, that's what makes it fun to watch the racing at all these tracks, because you really don't know what's going to happen. and where they never cease to surprise us with some great finishes. And that's what we saw both in the Can-Am West as well as the Can-Am, the Sprint Cup Series at Sonoma Raceway. But there was also great racing that we saw at Gateway and at Winchester this weekend as well. And I'll tell you what, this was a weekend of really fantastic racing. And if you're a fan of racing and you have not seen any of those races, you definitely, or you missed any of those races, go back and try to pick up what you missed, because there was some fantastic racing across the board. Now, Sal, the upcoming weekend is Daytona. A lot of folks are going to be out at Daytona International Speedway. We've mentioned Can-Am East are going to be out at Columbus, Ohio this weekend. They're going to be racing, and we're going to be previewing all of that this Thursday and on our Fan for Racing preview show, again with Jason Schultz coming back to help me with that preview. So what track are you going to be at this weekend, Sal?
I don't think I'll be at any track. I think Irwindale's having their night of destruction and all that. I think this weekend I'm going to take it off and spend it with my fiance. It's been a long, six, seven, eight weeks,
mm-hmm.
and 5 weeks or something like that. So I think I'm going to take this weekend off and just kind of enjoy it and enjoy the 4th of July holiday.
Okay, so that's well-deserved, Sal. And we wish you and your family the happiest of 4th of Julys, and be safe out there, okay? And enjoy
Thanks.
The time with your family. And
oh, yeah, I definitely
Sal,
will.
We appreciate everything that you do, Sal. You're such a big part of this show, and I just enjoy all the photos. I'm very happy to post the video interview that you did with Todd Gilliland and Riley Herbst over on Fan for Racing tonight, and I encourage fans to go take a listen to that. Sal does such tremendously great work, and again, I appreciate everything that you do.
Thanks, Sharon, and actually that was just all done and fun. We're standing there. We just finished the a garage tour with Bill McAnally, and Riley didn't like what was there to eat, so Troy went and got him the chicken fingers, and they're sitting off to the side, and then we were just having a little bit of fun. I said, let me do a quick interview with you guys, and let's have a little bit of fun now, and then that's how that transpired.
Well, you have to do more of that, Sal, and we'll post it at Fan for Racing when you do. I think those little video interviews at the track are kind of a good thing to do, and give fans a little bit of a feel behind the scenes. So keep them coming.
Yeah, I might. It's been a thought. It's been on the back of my head, thinking about doing stuff like that. And I don't know. I'll probably do a few more as the season goes on.
Okay. Well, again, enjoy your holiday. We will be back here on July the 11th with Sal for our NASCAR and Race Talk on Monday, July the 11th. So be sure to tune in for that. That will be following all the racing at Kentucky Speedway as well as State Line. And then ARCA Racing Series is racing out at Iowa that weekend as well. So we'll have a lot to talk about, Sal.
Oh, yeah, we will. So, yeah, everybody have a safe holiday weekend. Don't get burned with the fireworks. And, you know, most of all, don't drink and drive. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening out there.
Absolutely. Please be safe. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we want everybody back here for the next show on Fan for Racing Radio. So take care, Sal, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.